Welcome back to the Getting Grit podcast. I am Brad Pohl, your host, and this is where we tell the stories of sinners and saints. In the first century, pagan Rome rules the world, and the Jewish temple in Jerusalem considers every follower of Christ an enemy. And now the person that you have known him to be, and you've come to believe and trust and count on, has been slaughtered on the Roman cross. And you know without a doubt he was buried in a tomb for 3 days, and you equally know he has risen from the dead in a glorified manner, because you've seen him walk through walls and eat food right in front of you. And now he's asked you to meet him on the mount. There on the mount, he tells you to go out into the world and tell people that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And he wants you to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded you, saying, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." They had seen him heal the sick, the blind, the crippled. Demons were cast out. Thousands were fed on 5 loaves and 2 fish. And just like he raised Lazarus from the dead, he too had risen from the dead as he promised. Who were these men that we call the apostles, who passed on this faith by the laying on of hands to the present day? Men who went forth to help others believe that water could turn into wine and help us understand how bread and wine turn into body and blood. These were men who were willing to die just for the opportunity to tell you the story to you, and most of them did. Although 1,900 years later, Archbishop Fulton Sheen would say something very straightforward regarding what we have done over time since these men lived. He said the refusal to take sides on great moral issues is itself a decision. It is a silent acquiescence to evil. The tragedy of our current time is that those who still believe in honesty lack fire and conviction, while those who believe in dishonesty are full of passionate conviction. The common theme today is to fall in line over identity politics. According to Bishop Barron's unpacking of the 3rd chapter of John's Gospel, this is the popular chapter containing verse 3:16. He writes, "The Israelite hope was that in the Messianic era, Israel would become a godly nation gathered around the common worship of the true God at the temple on Mount Zion, and that this united Israel would become in turn a beacon to the other nations of the world. Jesus' entire preaching and ministry should be read under this rubric of the great gathering. He went out consistently to the margins of society in order to lure the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he hosted festive suppers to which he invited both the rich and the poor, both male and female, sinners and saints, both righteous and unrighteous. His open table fellowship was the concrete acting out of the kingdom prophecy of Isaiah. But the opposition that Jesus faced throughout his ministry brings into sharp relief a basic form of human dysfunction, our preference for the patterns of exclusion, domination, division, and violence. As St. John put it, the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light." The saint concludes this chapter's discourse saying, "But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." Clearly, our efforts and our works have the spotlight on them. Matthew Keller writes, "There is only one type of person who God has used powerfully throughout history, the people who make themselves available to him. It is the prerequisite for mission." Let me tell you a story about a father and his son, as told by Scott Hahn. In less than 4 minutes, over 30,000 were dead from a magnitude 8.2 earthquake that rocked and nearly flattened Armenia in 1989. In the muddled chaos, a distressed father bolted through the winding streets leading to the school where his son had gone earlier that morning. The man couldn't stop thinking about the promise he'd given his son many times. "No matter what happens, Armand, I'll always be there." He reached the site where the school had been but saw only a pile of rubble. He just stood there, fighting back tears. Then he took off, stumbling over the debris, toward the east corner, where he knew his son's classroom had been. With nothing but his bare hands, he started to dig. He was desperately pulling up bricks and pieces of wall plaster, while others stood by watching in forlorn disbelief. He heard someone growl, "Forget it, mister. They're all dead." He looked up, flustered, and replied, "You can grumble, or you can help me lift these bricks." Only a few pitched in. But the man just couldn't stop thinking about his son. He kept digging and digging for hours, 12 hours, 18 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours. Finally, into the 38th hour, he heard a muffled groan. He cried out, "Armand!" From the darkness came a slight shaking voice calling, "Papa." Other weak voices began calling out. As young survivors stirred beneath the still uncleared rubble, 14 of the 33 students were still alive. When Armand finally emerged, he tried to help dig until all his surviving classmates were out. As children, we followed the example of the father. Everybody standing there heard him as he turned to his friends and said, "See, I told you my father wouldn't forget us." Love requires that we follow through, that our efforts must persevere until the end. We must fight till the last dog is hung, because clearly our efforts and our works have the spotlight on them. The Catholic Catechism outlines original sin. Man is tempted by the devil, lets his trust in his Creator die in his heart, thus abusing his freedom. In that first sin, man preferred himself to God, and by that very act scorned God. Man chose himself over and against God. Adam and Eve immediately lose the grace of original holiness. They become afraid of God, conceiving a distorted view of Him. Their original harmony through original justice is destroyed. Death and decay enter the world. Man is incapable of restoring this mess. We have 4,000 years of Old Testament history to explain that, and then prepare us for the fact that only God is capable of fixing this mess. We have another 2,000 years of teaching us that a good number of men and women don't understand the remedy. So clearly, our efforts and our works have the spotlight on them. You can grumble, or you can help lift these bricks. Ain't it so? This is Getting Grit signing off. Blessings to you all. Dominus vobiscum.